Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing free health insurance, buy now, pay later, and fatter paychecks.
Yeah, Joel, that's right. This is a fresh Friday flight where we have taken a look at some of the different headlines from this past week, and specifically we're going to talk about how they are going to impact your wallet or your purse or your credit card statement or your checking account, wherever it is that your spending money comes out of. We're going to talk about how these headlines affect that money.
Have I ever mentioned how cool my wallet is, by the way? I've got this...
You got one of the slim wallets, right?
Yeah, one of the slim wallets, and like literally it's magnetized and you pull it up and all the credit card comes out. And it's super cool. I'll link to that in the show notes. Like that's... this has made a big difference in my life, and it was like $12.
You don't have any back problems anymore, right?
Exactly. Oh,
you're
my
like
gosh.
Seinfeld.
People with fat wallets.
Like the huge fat wallet where...
They're so bad.
Causes back problems.
Exactly. Especially when you're like on a long distance trip in the car and you're just like... You're slightly imbalanced.
Dude, just take the wallet out of your pocket.
You need to, yeah.
I do that even... I've got a skinnier wallet, and I like to carry just like a little pocket knife. Like, it kind of slides into my wallet as well, so I'm kind of like borderline everyday carry kind of guy. Where I'm like, got these little cool little things in my pockets. But no matter what, sitting here at the desk, getting in the car, I always take my wallet out and just set it down, typically just kind of right under my phone.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Don't let your wallet hurt your posture.
Yeah, and check out Joel's $12. You've had that thing for like a year now, right?
Yeah, I love it. I'm telling you, like, it's been so great.
Is it one of those companies that advertises online where you see the ads all the time? It starts with a B? You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to say their name because, we don't have a...
No, I don't have
a relationship with them or anything.
I literally saw the wallet on an Instagram ad and I was oh my gosh, that's exactly what I've been looking for years and have never been able to find. I didn't buy it through the Instagram ad. Then I went online and ended up shopping and I found it on eBay for like
slick deals,
a third of the
eBay.
Price.
but yeah,
it was one of those things. And that was one of the best Instagram purchases I've ever made.
Well, aside from that tangent, you also wanted to talk about how you've also been spending some big money when it comes to some electronics.
Yeah. So, okay, just really quickly wanted to mention that back to school deals on electronics are kind of in full force right now.
Yeah.
And so, especially I'm not sure what the remote learning situation is like where you are and where your kids are. Fortunately, our kids are back in school in person, and I hope your kids are as well. But either way, you might need a laptop for some reason, and right now is a good time to buy a laptop. We're able to score just a really good deal from Best Buy. My wife is going back to school, and she got the additional student discount on that Mac.
Heck yeah.
And it's going to be, a laptop that she's going to be able to use for years and years to come in schooling. So I just want to mention that if you're like, I think we do need to replace a laptop, now could be a good time. There have been some good sales floating around.
And I also wanted to mention the power or the influence of your friends. You know, there's always that saying of you're going to have the net worth that's the average of your five closest friends, that kind of thing. Well, Emily starts talking about getting a new laptop and Kate kind of jumped on it as well. She's like, oh yeah, I need a new laptop. And I was just, politely pointed out to her that we've got a pretty solid newer laptop. It's just
listen, Kate, you're not going back to school, okay? You don't have a reason for this, but...
She is taking this class here in the fall that we might talk about at some point. But the main laptop that she uses is from like 2010. It's a 2010 MacBook Air. And yeah, that thing's a piece. But I'm like, babe, we've got to get you an account set up on the new laptop. But always be aware of what's going on around you because that has an impact on how you view your money, your things.
That's one of the quickest ways to get poor is to base your spending decisions on the spending decisions of people around you.
The Joneses or the Joels. But I wanted to mention too, you can also get that student discounts if you are the parent of a student.
So
for all the parents out there and you're not going to school, if you have a kid, oftentimes on some of the different sites, you can get the student discount as well.
Nice. Okay. Well, so yeah, keep your eyes open. Glad we were able to mention that. But let's get into the Friday flight. These are the stories we saw this week in the news, and there are massive impacts for your personal finances. And Matt, that buy now, pay later story, I'm really excited to get to that because there's a lot of news in that space. And there's a lot of stuff I didn't even know that I found when I was like reading this week that should be a little nerve-wracking for someone. You need to listen to what we have to say before you make a purchase through one of those services.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get to that, let's talk about health insurance. For a second, Matt. And believe it or not, there are some cheap or even free healthcare plans available for a lot of Americans right now, for a lot of How to Money listeners too. And yeah, I'm being for real, like free health insurance. This is a, and this is, I don't want to sound super salesy or gimmicky, but this is a limited time offer. And it won't last long.
That is actually true.
It is true. The Wall Street Journal did a great job reporting this week about how because of the COVID stimulus bills, many Americans can receive incredibly cheap and sometimes free healthcare plans on the exchange. And most people don't know about this, and they assume that they can't afford to buy healthcare. And so some people go without, or they overspend by going outside of the exchange to buy their health insurance. But yeah, it's important to note that you might be able to save money by going through the exchange directly. And a crucial part of this too, Matt, is that anyone who has received unemployment insurance at any point this year is automatically qualified to pay nothing on some of these ACA plans. So yeah, if you received unemployment, even for just a week, and you need health insurance, this is a no-brainer. Like, this is where you should be going. Because of some of those stimulus bills, it just means that a whole lot of people can save a whole lot of money or maybe pay nothing for their health insurance for quite a while to come.
Yeah, and when the average family is spending over $1,200 a month on health insurance, this is a legit way for you to save a lot of money.
This is a big line item in a lot of people's budgets.
Yeah, another aspect too, important aspect of these subsidies is the fact that they no longer have a hard cap. It used to be where if you were single and you made more than $50,000, right, you didn't receive any benefit, but that's no longer the case. The current benefit now depends on your age as well as your income. So you could be, say, 30 years old, making what you believe is a decent income and still see a pretty significant discount. But Joel, you mentioned this is a limited time offer. It's very true. The deadline to enroll is August 15th. So you don't have much longer to take advantage of this before those subsidies are no longer available, before that open enrollment period closes. Of course, you could check out plans at healthcare.gov, or if your state has its own marketplace, head there. But also head over to healthsherpa.com, because it can help you to find the best plan for you and for your situation. Oftentimes, it comes down to, as well, like, how much money do you have in the bank? Can you afford some of those bronze plans that have a higher deductible? It kind of depends on your own personal financial situation.
That's right, yeah. And on the note of health coverage, did you know that colleges offer campus health insurance plans? Oftentimes, the cost of this insurance is actually baked into the overall cost of tuition. So yeah, students and some parents may not even realize that they're paying for it. It may just be included in the overall price. And you're like, wait a second, I didn't know that was a line item. But the thing is, yeah, you could be paying for this coverage and you might not need it, right? If a student can show that they're already covered, for instance, if they're still on their parents' plan, since they can do that until they're 26. When the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, went into effect, that was one of the changes, right? Well, students can opt out and avoid paying for that unnecessary insurance that the college is kind of trying to push on them, right? So yeah, often this is something that needs to be done proactively this summer or at the beginning of the fall semester. So yeah, I would say look into that and see if there is some sort of campus health insurance plan that you're being billed for. You don't have to pay for that. And you can ask for that to be removed from your bill if your kid, if your child is on another qualifying insurance plan.
Yeah, and real quick too, while we're talking about college, Target, they are adding a pretty sweet perk in an effort to attract workers. They are paying for 100% of college tuition and textbooks, and new Target employees, they're going to be eligible for this starting with their first day of work. So it's not like there's this, I don't know, like 3-year-long vesting period or anything like that.
So I don't know if I told you, I'm going to start working at Target next week.
To pay for Emily's classes.
Exactly.
Walmart, they announced a similar initiative a couple of weeks ago, making it even more affordable for their associates to get a higher degree. I think previously, they required their employees to pay $1 a day, which honestly, I actually kind of liked that plan.
A little skin in the game.
Yeah, it gives, like, you have to be, like, granted, if you're going to go to college, you have to show some degree of self-motivation. But I don't know, just even still, there being some sort of financial hook just to make sure, like, are you still
even
watching?
Even if it's small.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like on Netflix. Like, they just want you to just click the okay. Like, it's not much. It's just $1. But even still, they've decided to walk that back, and they're taking it all the way down to $0 completely. Free, and so financially, obviously, that's better. And this new offering from Target is available for full-time and part-time workers, by the way. It's just another reminder, man, that pay, it's obviously crucial when deciding which jobs you want to pursue, but so are secondary benefits. Getting to pursue a free college education is a pretty big perk.
Yeah, it for sure is a big perk. And it could influence whether or not you go work at an employer or not, right? Some of those secondary benefits like, oh, snap, I do want to get, you know, my college degree, and getting it for free is obviously a huge check mark in, you know, going to work for that employer.
Heck yeah.
Let's talk about the buy now, pay later companies, Matt, because if someone has gone to one of their favorite clothing websites or something like that, they have seen the option to break up that payment into four easy installments over the coming months. And it's just becoming a more and more prominent way to purchase things when you're shopping online. And Jack Dorsey's company, the guy who started Twitter, he's also got another company called Square. Guys, obviously.
Jack.
He's just a tech mogul.
everybody knows Jack.
Everybody knows him.
Him and his intermittent fasting. Whatever else.
His interesting facial hair choices.
Stuff he does.
Well, he and his company, Square, just purchased the Australian company Afterpay for $29 billion. We just talked about arbitrage on Wednesday. And since most of the buy now, pay later companies don't charge interest, well, when you're buying something, going the buy now, pay later route could be sort of like a consumption arbitrage move, right? Hmm. You can keep more cash in your bank account, earning interest on that money, pay that item off over time.
Yeah, as long as you're not paying interest, right? Because like you could incorrectly state that, like, well, credit cards, that's kind of like a form of arbitrage, right? But not, I mean, not when you're paying out the nose in order to take advantage of that opportunity.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, and BNPL has other downsides too. I'm going to call buy now, pay later BNPL, okay? And in fact, despite the fact that you can use this method and not actually pay more for the item, it doesn't actually mean that you should, because there are other negative side effects of these things. Stats have found that people paying with BNPL, they place orders, sorry, is that okay? they place orders that are 18% larger than shoppers who don't use that, right? Who are using a credit card or more traditional form of payment. And since the use of buy now, pay later is spreading faster than, like, I don't know, the Delta variant, you're going to see it as an option when you're checking out more and more. And at more retailers are going to start offering this in the near future. So some of these buy now, pay later companies, Matt, are even encouraging you to pay for your groceries in installments, which seems like, to me, a recipe for budgeting disasters, right?
I can't imagine how that actually works. A founder of one of the companies said that the buy now, pay later, it's going to allow folks to expand their spending power. And that just stood out to me, man, because that is so twisted. Like, that's such a crappy way of looking at it. I feel like it's misleading.
Yeah.
Because what they're trying to do is point out that, like, oh yeah, you're going to be able to, with the limited dollars you have now, you're essentially expanding what you're able to purchase. And yes, true. Like, in the here and now, like right now, you are going to be able to increase what you're able to buy. But that's only because you're not saddled with all these tiny micro loans, essentially these payments that you have to pay back, right? And so you're only going to be able to expand. And like right now.
Yeah.
But imagine if you put all of your expenses on, you know, and they're broken into these small little payments, and picture yourself like 5 years down the road. Like, every dollar that you're earning is basically immediately getting siphoned off onto these expenses, these purchases that you've made in the past.
It's like saying you can afford a much nicer car if you take out a 10-year car loan. And it's like, that's
it's like,
true.
Well, yeah, sure, of course I could.
But there are other pitfalls to having a 10-year car loan.
Exactly, yeah. And so I just don't like the idea that they're just presenting this as a win-win for the consumer. Because, like, yes, you are going to be able to win in the short term because, yeah, it feels good to get something, you know, without having to part with that money in the here and now, but eventually that's going to come due.
Yeah, you become a payment buyer, and that is not a good mindset to have.
We want to avoid that mindset because that can lead to bigger spending issues down the line. And yeah, we don't want you to buy things that you can't afford, and buy now, pay later can be a slippery slope taking you in that direction. Using buy now, pay later, I'm not going to do the BNPL.
Okay.
Because it's only like five syllables, right?
Know,
like,
sorry.
Buy now, pay later.
But that was short-sighted of me.
It's okay. That can affect other things as well. 72% of people who missed a buy now, pay later payment saw their credit score take a hit. And it can also impact whether or not you're able to get a mortgage. And I'm being serious here. Refinery29, they had an article this week saying that buy now, pay later users of Klarna, that's one of the companies that does
Swedish this. Swedish based, I think?
I think so. I don't even know. But those consumers, they were being declined when they were applying for a mortgage. You know, this doesn't necessarily appear to be widespread, but yeah, some banks seem to be flagging users of these buy now, pay later services, even if they have never missed a payment. We'll keep our eyes on that, but because of the many potential downsides to buy now, pay later, it is important to note that you have to be careful when using it.
Yeah, and obviously the people that run those companies, Matt, they're trying to make it sound as rosy as possible, right?
Of course.
Like, take advantage. Like, What was the quote you said?
Expand your spending power.
I mean, that sounds so sweet, right? And then it can be so rotten under the surface. And so, yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing, right? You can potentially use it well, but there's also just a lot of potential downside to using those services and to becoming a payment buyer in general.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's just like credit cards. We are a big fan of credit cards. We talk about all the different benefits of using credit cards as much as you can, but you, of course, need to make sure that you're being responsible as well.
Most definitely. Okay, well, we got more to get to, including we're going to talk about paychecks getting fatter. People are making more money right now, and well, how can you be one of those people? We'll talk about that and more right after this break.
All right, we are back. Joel, it's the Friday Flight where we're discussing some of the different news stories that we came across this week, and it is now time for our ludicrous headline
of the week. That was like my movie announcer voice. Was it okay?
Yeah, actually, okay. That's pretty good. It's nice and deep.
In a world.
Yes, exactly. It made me think of, what's her name? Belle?
Blake Bell. That was a great movie.
Yeah, in a world. anyway, this story came from Axios, and the headline read, "Index fund investors saved $357 billion over the last 25 years. And man, in this article, there was this recent analysis by the Investment Company Institute on the impact that index funds have had over the past really quarter of a century. The cool thing about index funds, of course, is that investors who opt for this incredibly simple investing strategy have outperformed most investment managers when it comes to the returns that they've generated. But at the same time, index investors have saved an insane amount of money in fees, $357 billion overall. And that's $357 billion that can then be reinvested.
Yeah.
And that money compounds. And that's another reason why investors who take this path often see their portfolios grow in a particularly exceptional way.
Yeah, and the reason that we chose this to be the ludicrous headline of the week is just because that number felt ludicrous. It felt huge, right?
That's a lot of money.
$357 billion.
That's
going back to investors.
That's big government money right there.
right. Like, that feels like a CARES Act bill or something like that, right? So yeah, against that much money, that headline just grabbed my attention. Like, we talk about index funds all the time on the show and the value that they can bring to individual investors. But to see that sort of a number, to see the accumulated savings over time reaching that high to that large of a, on that big of a scale, it just made me realize like, okay, we got to talk about this.
Yes. And, yeah, and oftentimes too, we often sometimes talk about negative things. And this is a great positive, right?
Yeah.
And we're only going to see this number grow as well, because was it a couple years ago that index fund money that was in index funds overtook actively managed funds? I mean, as more money pours into that, you're only going to see that number grow.
Exactly. Yeah. And the average index fund charges roughly 0.15 in fees, while the average actively managed fund takes almost 1% cut of your money. And so, yeah, that might seem like a small spread. Like, we're talking less than 1% here, right? But that number actually has a significant effect on your returns over your investing lifetime. And a large enough spread could actually mean reducing the money you have in retirement by a third or even half. And so, yeah, like we discussed on Monday with Clark Howard, one area of our financial lives that has gotten easier over time is investing. And investors that prioritize index funds, well, they've reaped the most rewards. Like, our favorite funds, Matt, have expense ratios of not even at that 0.15%, but 0 to 0.04%, right?
Yeah.
We'll link specifically to those funds that we love.
I love those funds.
Fidelity and Vanguard offer the ones that we love the most. But it's just so incredible that you can be widely diversified now, and you can have essentially all the money that you're putting in working for you, not going to line someone else's pockets. And when you see that headline number, $357 billion, it's like, okay, cool. Well, but how much am I actually saving? And if you run the numbers, it's like, oh, you're going to save a lot. And
yes,
you're going to outperform most of the people who are trying to beat the market. So it's kind of a win-win.
That's right, dude. Let's talk about rising prices. Inflation is now hitting diapers. It's something that you and I spend a lot of money on. Both of our youngest, both our boys are in diapers still. Looking forward to the day that we can spend less on diapers.
Yes, me too.
Because it turns out that diapers cost the average family $1,000 per year per child. And yeah, if you've got multiple kids, this is a legit expense. But this story came from the Wall Street Journal. The cost of diapers is going up. Diaper prices have risen roughly 12% in recent months. This is partially due to the increased cost of lumber as well as gas prices.
You're like, what do those have to do with diapers, Matt?
And it turns out that because wood pulp, petroleum, they're both used to make diapers absorbent, rising prices in those areas, in those industries, they are affecting what we are paying for a package of diapers. And so here's what you need to do in order to cut the cost of a very necessary product if you have a baby. First of all, be less brand loyal. A lot of folks like to get those name brand diapers out there, but do you actually need them? No. Personally, we like to hit up Aldi for our diapers. And there's actually this mom blogger that maybe we'll link to in our show notes. She goes by Joyfully Thriving, but she did this incredible breakdown of all the different diapers from all the different stores, including store brands, including name brands, and she breaks it down the different sizes as well as with the different size boxes as well. Because you know when you get the bigger boxes,
you're going to save more.
Yeah, you get a better deal.
Yeah. And that price per diaper is like the most important breakdown element, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But consistently, you know, when it comes to the everyday prices, Walmart and Aldi both consistently deliver the best prices. But even Costco, they've got their Kirkland Signature diapers on sale like right now, in fact. And when they go on sale, it gets that price pretty dang close to the Aldi price. And in your
I stock up when they go on
in
sale.
In your opinion, you like the Kirkland Signature diaper.
Yeah, but again, I'm with you. I'm not beholden to a brand name. And so I don't care if it's Kirkland Signature or if it's Aldi's, just as long as it's in that like price point that I want to pay.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to pay even more attention right now because diaper prices across the board are going to go up. That's a big pain. I think one other thing, Matt, that people can consider if they have kids is cloth diapers. I know most people might immediately be like, gross, no way. But we actually did cloth diapers for our first two kids. And cloth diapers have gotten much better in recent years. I think it can be a little bit of a pain to do all the laundry associated with those diapers. But if you don't mind and you're just purely focused on saving money, cloth diapers are actually not a bad way to go. Getting 12 or 14 cloth diapers and then kind of, you know, using those every day and washing them and drying them out, like that can save you bukus of dollars. Because like you said, $1,000 per year per child, if you can buy $100 worth of cloth diapers, you could save $900 right there.
Yeah, well, you can get $100 worth of cloth diapers if you get them used, which is also not as gross as it sounds.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
There are different baby boutiques out there and you can get really great quality used cloth diapers, save a ton of money. But yeah, like that upfront cost when it comes to cloth diapers is pretty steep. But especially if you know that you're gonna use these diapers for multiple kids, you're gonna be able to save a ton of money. We gave it a shot with our firstborn, but man, we couldn't beat this rash, and it sounds ridiculous. It only went away when we used disposable diapers. And we tried different detergents and everything. All the different things that people write about out there. So for us, it didn't work out. But
she has sensitive skin. You know?
It's just how she is. But also, man, diapers, they're not the only area of the economy that is currently seeing changes. It looks like some of the supply problems are getting better in many different industries, but not when it comes to furniture. CNN reports that Vietnam is actually having a problem with major outbreaks of COVID at the moment. That's obviously troubling, of course, for the health of the Vietnamese people, considering their vaccination rates stand at less than 1% right now. It also has an impact, though, on furniture prices here in the U.S. Because Vietnam, they actually manufacture many of the couches, tables, you know, bedroom furniture that we buy here in the States. And so it's having an impact on delivery times. And so just be aware, if you're looking to upgrade a piece of furniture in your house, that it might be incredibly difficult right now. And so instead of buying new, again, you probably know where we're going to go with this, but consider going thrifting or see if you can find a style that you like on Facebook Marketplace, because you could easily find something that you love at a fraction of the price, and you'll be able to get it right away, and you're not contributing to the overall consumption and waste when it comes to furniture.
Yeah, no doubt. Love that, Matt. I love the idea of people, especially when you're like, dang, it's going to take me an extra 3, 4, 5 months to get that couch because of the production delays and shipping delays. I guess I will go used. And you know what? You might find out that you find something that you like just as much. You take something gently used off someone else's hands and you pay a whole lot less than you would have buying something new.
Yep.
And Matt, let's move on. Wages are rising. That is one of the positive sides of the inflation coin, right? You just talked about diaper prices going up and it's like, oh, that stinks. But hopefully your paycheck's getting bigger too. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that the average salary for food service employees is now over $17 an hour. And it's been rising actually at a substantial rate over the past year. So yeah, that increase in hourly pay is in addition to many employers increasing benefits, like we talked about with Target and Walmart,
right?
Going to college for free. In the addition of sign-up bonuses that more and more employers are offering in order to find workers too. So yeah, CVS, they just announced that they're raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour. Chipotle did the same. And then average hourly earnings are increasing across the board as well, not just in the food services sector. Those earnings saw a year-over-year increase of 3.5% for an average of just over $30 an hour as an hourly rate across the country. So it's good to see wages rising. Like, I think when we see those inflation numbers, sometimes we're like, we panic, but ordinary folks are seeing, you know, puffed up paychecks at the same time.
Yeah. Something interesting, too, about the some of the data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics is that if you look back at the last 10 years, it always shows a very clear pattern. Like, food service wages always kind of either plateau or they even drop a little bit in the first half of the year before they shoot up in the second part of the year, which is crazy. Like, I know 2021 hasn't been like a normal year, but what that means is we could potentially see food service wages go up even more because typically they stay where they are or they drop. And instead, we've seen them increase more than we've seen in years or decades.
Well, especially with some of those restaurants still needing employees, still limited hours of operation, or having to shut off portions of the restaurant because they don't have enough servers or cooks in the kitchen. Like, I think we could see wages continue to go up.
Yeah, line cooks could be like the new plumbers. You know, like plumbers make so much money per hour. But in general, we're seeing workers gain just greater bargaining power when it comes to sitting down and whether they're going to take or not take a job. But the people that are often left out in the cold are these loyal workers who continue to get the annual cost of living raise as opposed to hopping to a new employer. And you know,
it's like, we just offered this brand new employee like this excellent starting salary, but your raise is capped at 2%.
Probably be a little demoralizing, right?
Yeah.
And so some employers like Chipotle, they are increasing pay for all employees to reflect the value that they place on the folks who have been there for a while, which is, I think that's great. But then there are other companies who aren't taking that smart move. And if that's you, your options are really just to shop the market and see if switching jobs is right for you. And that can result in higher pay. But, you know, of course, there are other considerations that you do want to keep in mind before you jump ship.
Yeah, like leaving a job. That's a big move. And so you want to make sure you've exhausted your options with that employer if you want to stay, right?
Yeah.
So opening up that conversation about pay with your employer is crucial if you want to stick around. And it's not as taboo as you might think, especially in this climate where everybody knows that wages are going up and that prices are going up. So yeah, it's important before you actually enter into that conversation, though, to have some facts on your side about what you've been able to accomplish in your role and then what other companies are paying for people with your level of experience. If you're worth more than you're making, don't be afraid to say so. Don't be afraid to have that conversation. There's a way to approach it tactfully where you can negotiate well and stick up for yourself in order to make more in a climate, in an environment where lots of workers are seeing, you know, substantial raises.
That's right. And you know what, Joel? That's going to be it for what we're going to talk about today. We don't want to keep our listeners any longer. We hope you have a great weekend. We've got an Ask How to Money episode lined up for you this coming Monday. And Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.